Hello and welcome to the Wise Guys Podcast. I am your host, Brady Fitzgerald, joined as always by my co-host, Chris Hayden.
How you guys doing?
Not as fruitful as I always am today, or at least have been for the past month, because the Celtics haven't lost a playoff game in a month. They finally lost last night.
You saw that stat, 35 games. Or 35 days without losing a game. That put it in perspective more than any other stat I've seen. But sorry, go ahead.
No, that's a perfect way to start, because I was after the past couple games, I was expecting it to kind of go more the same. Figured we'd just sweep because of what you just said. That stat that puts into perspective the Celtics, even though they did just lose, and I know it's kind of sounding silly not praising the Mavericks right away, but they are. They are the best. They are by far the best team. When you look at this game, they were. If there's an opposite of firing on all cylinders, like breaking at every seam, that's what they did. They fell apart at every seam. It was one of those Knicks games where it was like Knicks Pacers, and 2 minutes into the game, you're like, oh, the Pacers are gonna run them out of the building because they don't have enough players. Yeah. That's what it felt like with the Celtics, only they had everyone that they've had all series. It was true desperation out of Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. They were playing great offense. Every time they got onto the Mavericks offensive side, they got the Celtics fouled them. Not only did they foul them, but they also fouled them on a layup. So like, it's not even the refs' fault. The Celtics were just fouling all over the place. They couldn't get into any rhythm. I will say they brought out Scott Foster for a reason, and they did help on the. They don't like to call fouls on Tatum this series. I'm going to say that, but I'm not saying that's why they lost the game. They just couldn't get in a rhythm. They shot 29 of 80, 14 of 41. Just an abysmal game.
29 of 8. Ugh.
Yeah, 29. They weren't passing like they have in the past three games. They weren't cutting, using the open lanes. It was a really strange game, Chris. And I guess did you get to watch any of the highlights? You were at a baseball game.
Yeah, I've watched some of the highlights, and
it's all from the first quarter.
Yes. I mean, we checked the score, like we were checking the score periodically from our seats, and I think the first time we checked it was already a blowout. It was like 35-16 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you checked it like two more times, and we're like, all right, this game's, it's over. Like, there's no point in even getting home and watching the rest of it.
No, they had, so I turned it off with 4 minutes left in the third quarter because the Celtics took out their starters. They took out their starters with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. I was like, all right, like if they're just going to call it, then, I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to watch Peyton Pritchard and Luke Kornet run around for another 12 minutes.
When you look at the box score, some of the names that pop up for the Celtics are hilarious. Like, yeah. They played 20 guys.
Yeah, they played everyone. Jordan Walsh, the rookie. Nia's, I don't think he's been
Vita,
in.
How do you say that name?
He played in the regular season, which is funny. But Jordan Walsh never even played in the regular season. Like, that's how much he didn't play. And they were like, all right, whatever. Jane Springer, I don't think, subbed into a regular season game either.
Springer and Tillman, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they traded for both of them. I guess
those were guys to just get them through the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, Tillman. So Tillman's actually been decently important in the finals. I mean, he hit a three-pointer in game three. He had a and one in this game when it was still decently close. But he's getting torched by Luka on defense, so they can't have him out there for so long. Mm. Yeah, if you're going to Jordan Walsh in a playoff game, it's done. It's over. And it's funny. On the other side, the Mavericks also put in their bench, of course. And my guy, it was a heavy heart that he subbed into a finals game, because I was excited for him, but it was because my Celtics were losing so badly. But Gamecocks legend AJ Lawson is on the Mavericks squad, and he came on the bench. Got 2 points. So he's got finals. He got more finals points than Joel Embiid.
Yes, he did.
So
was Embiid on one of the shows? Because I saw a tweet about it.
He tweeted out. It was in the middle of game three when the Celtics were on that giant run before they blew the lead. They were like, oh, did Milwaukee give them the championship, referring to Drew Holiday? And then so then that sparked all the conversation about did they give the championship? What would concern me, I mean, I don't think they're going to win three games in a row. You know, they have the one, so they got one. I don't think they're going to win three games in a row. I would be concerned about how, so they played the end of the fourth quarter really well in game three, you know, with 21-point comeback, they take the lead, Celtics win game three anyways. I go to bed happy, even though my dad and I are losing our minds through the whole fourth quarter. What would concern me is that they were able to bring that same momentum back into this game. Maybe it's because it's at home. Maybe they found a rhythm. Maybe when you go to Boston, it'll change. Kyrie has been a pumpkin every time he's in Boston. So hopefully he does more of the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's probably a part of the Celtics last night that came in and was like, we've already had it. Like, we have this thing won.
Yeah, everyone's we're up 3-0. Nobody's ever come back.
Three and like all of the drama in game three with Luka and the refs and all that. And they probably thought that it was over and like the Mavs were going to come out soft. But credit to the Mavs. Like, I guess you shouldn't get too much credit for playing hard when your season's on the line. But it did seem like they were dead. And they came out, punched them right in the mouth. And I don't think the Celtics were prepared for that. And they honestly, like you said, they took their starters out with 4 minutes in the third quarter. They were probably just like, man, whatever. We'll just win it in Boston.
That's what they're good enough
where they probably are not that upset about last night. And the other thing is, in a 7-game series, you're going to have nights where you're bad shooting the basketball.
Yeah.
And they were horrible last night. It's going to happen. It's not going to happen 3 more times. I don't want to completely jinx it, but I would be absolutely floored if they shot 36% or whatever it was for 3 games in a row.
Yeah, I mean, as a Mavs bettor, you would be ecstatic, of course. They had...
Yeah, I'm not... I'm not, like, expecting this to turn back into a series.
It is such a lame way to talk about it, though, because you're like... But you're kind of right. It seemed like, you know, the Mavericks start out hot. It seemed like the Celtics were not prepared for them to start out hot, which is weird because they started out hot in every game. So I don't know why they wouldn't have been prepared for it. But... I think they just thought Luka was going to be a turnstile again, and clearly he heard all the criticisms from 2 nights ago.
Windy.
Yeah, Brian Windhorst. If you haven't seen the Brian Windhorst roast of Luka Doncic, please go check it out. It's even though he played good defense in the next game, it's worth just to listen to.
Somebody put the Meet the Grams beat behind.
That was great. Did you see PFT's edit of it? He put like a bunch of goofy. He like made it like a rap video. He put the Meet the Grams behind it, and then he put like a bunch of graphics behind Wimby. Like his head would be like all angry and like blow up into smoke clouds. It was hilarious.
I'll have to see that.
Yeah, you gotta check that out afterwards.
It was like, I guess we didn't talk about Game Three. We didn't get the chance to because we didn't have a pod, but it was embarrassing. And Luka earlier in the playoffs had made a comment about how he needs to stop like whining at the officials. And he did the next game. Like, he didn't complain at all. I think he complained to the fans instead. Well, not complained, but chirped the fans instead of the officials. And he was like, yeah, like this, it's on me when that happens. Like, it affects the whole team. And then game three of the finals, like, he's on the line, and it happens again. It was embarrassing, and he did suck defensively.
He not only did he suck defensively, but he put himself. What was bothering me in Game Three was that final charge call that he got. That kicked him out of the game with 4 minutes left. It's a 3-point game. The 3-point game. He comes and yells at the bench to review it, and Windhorst says it perfectly. When he puts himself in a terrible defensive play, that he's gunning for a blocking foul or a charging foul, Why would you gun for that when you have five fouls? And you're moving. You're actively moving. Like the point is that your feet are set, and that's what makes it a blocking foul or a charging foul. It was embarrassing. It was great as a Celtics fan that we ended up winning that game. And it's funny because, like, if Luka's out there in the last quarter, they don't win. The Celtics don't win that game. Luka wasn't missing at all. And it was a perfect way for him to leave the game. My dad and I were pumping. We were so excited. Well, and it felt like in game three, it felt like he should have fouled out in the third quarter. It felt like he was, like, just fouling every play.
Yeah, and it's like a tough spot because you can't give him too much criticism because he's literally put the team on his back and carried them to the first final since Dirk. So, like, they're not there without – they're not even close to anything without him.
Yeah.
So, but it is, like, when you are the superstar, it's like, you know, say with superheroes, great power comes great responsibility. Like, it's on you to keep yourself under control, to not find – like screaming at the bench to review it. And then wasn't there a call that they could have reviewed like a minute or two later that they couldn't because they burned their challenge on that charge?
Yeah. Yeah. Block. The block at the end, they couldn't challenge it because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was, yeah, just a tough look overall, but to their credit, like they did bounce back in a pretty significant way.
Yeah. They hit some great shots in the fourth quarter. They bounced back. They were close. They had the lead, and then the Celtics were able to put the strings on their back and figure it out. But yeah, I hope to see more of that, of course. But it was game four was bad. Game four was real bad.
Yeah, that was tough. We just kept like checking the score. We're like, holy shit! Like,
yeah, I know. It's like
doubled
their
score.
Yeah, like, I was like, are they gonna win by 60?
I thought it was gonna end. I thought it was going to end last night. I also thought Porzingis was going to play.
So he was available. He was available to play. I'm guessing.
Available. Got it.
So okay. He was available to play. They said in emergency situations, like they said on the broadcast, in emergency situations, they'd bring him in. And I'm guessing.
I don't think there's an emergency situation when you're up 3-0.
No, no. And I think they said.
Maybe if there were 5 minutes left in a tie game, they would have thrown him in there.
Well, they said foul trouble too. Like night, if Horford was in foul trouble or Tillman was in foul trouble, they'd bring him out.
Wow.
But I guess once you're down by 13 in the first quarter, you're like, we're never gonna bring this guy out until we make it a single digit.
Yeah,
game.
Steps. Yeah. Watch it. Put your sweats back on.
Yeah, put your sweatpants back on. Whatever Louis Vuitton you have wearing, put that back on.
Fun. So he's played two games in these playoffs.
Four.
And not that many. Like, he's probably played 40 minutes. No, because he was...
He played two in the Heat series.
Oh, did he start the playoffs and got hurt?
Yeah,
right,
he played
okay.
two in the Heat series.
Right.
Yeah, it is right. crazy. And it's crazy because every time he goes out there, the team looks drastically different. And...
Well, yeah.
Well, yes, of course. That sounds... Yeah. But... But drastically different in... They're both... Like, both teams, with or without him, are incredible. But they both play different types of style. And I love the Porzingis style when he's out there. I hope he can get back out there for game four. I hope he's not just available. I hope he's active and like...
I think he'll play game five.
Yeah, at home.
I want to celebrate with the boys.
Yeah, I like that. Well, I know he wanted to play game three and wanted to play game four. He was like super bummed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That he missed those. And it makes total
sense.
He'd
say, I'll die out there.
Yeah, yeah, he said he'd die out there. And it makes sense when you've been on... crappy teams your whole career or teams you don't win.
Oh yeah. Then yeah. When you win 63 games, like you want to see that through.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you're such a big part.
It
of
is crazy though.
Season.
Like, yeah. And like how much we talked about how big of a difference he had made on this team. And it's like, he plays four games throughout the playoffs and they lost one of them or no, two of them. Wait, no. The games he didn't play.
They've only lost three.
Twice?
Three now. So they lost once against the Heat.
He's missed.
Once again.
I thought they lost
game
two against
the Heat. Oh, no, you're right. You're
Did
right.
Play that
game,
one?
Yeah, yeah. He played game two and he got hurt in game two.
All right. It's
weird
good
stat that you're making out. Yeah, I know what you're trying to say. They've lost two games
haven't lost winning, much.
Yes, they haven't lost
even
much.
Even with him not out there, they've still just flown through the playoffs. That's all I was trying to say.
Yeah, it's a big testament to this team, how deep this team was. I didn't think this team was as deep as it plays. Like, Peyton Pritchard out there, it seems like every time he's out there, it's going to be, he's going to get hunted by Luka, and which he does, but offensively, he's all right. He makes the plays that need to be done. Mm-hmm. Hauser is actually pretty good defensively on Luka, like, surprisingly. He's not, you know, no one's going to defend Luka to the ground, but this guy, he puts a body in front of him that's bigger than people expect, and can hit some threes.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Tillman. He's been all right this series, but it's funny. Like, Brissett hasn't played much. Luke Kornet hasn't played at all, which makes sense. I don't think Kornet could guard Gafford or Lively. And that was another key about this game. Gafford and Lively, even though their stats don't dictate it, they felt like their 10 minutes and 14 minutes out there were super important, or 10 minutes and 22 minutes.
They're eye test guys.
Yeah,
for sure.
And Lively specifically was all over the place rebounds. They kept switching him for, like, Drew Holiday or Derek White were on him, which isn't terrible defensively. But if he's right next to the basket, then it is terrible defensively because he can't get any rebounds. He gets all the rebounds and he gets all the putbacks. So that was his job today. Hey, if they miss a shot, you grab the rebound and you put it back. And he did it every time. So hopefully we need some Porzingis to mess that up.
And I think he'll be back. Obviously, I don't know anything about his injury, but if he's been available,
mm-hmm.
two more days, he'll be fine. He'll be out.
Yeah, we had a bad Horford game,
too. Monday, right? They got 2 days off.
Yeah, Monday, I think. Yeah. And they, like, Horford had a bad game. Normally, when Porzingis is out, Horford steps up. He had a bad, everyone had a bad game. Derek White had 2 threes. Drew Holiday was missing everything. Yeah, it was just a bad game all around. And it's funny, Jaylen Brown was out there for 27 minutes. You could have told me he was out there for 7 minutes, and I would have believed you. My dad and I were like, where is this guy? Like, we haven't seen this guy touch the basketball, like, all game. So it was a rough game. But, you know, it's expected. Even the 2017 Warriors, when they had Kevin Durant, lost game 4 to the Cavaliers, who only had LeBron. So I'm not too worried.
Mm-hmm. I would not be. If, not to put this in your head, but if they do lose game 5.
Then they have game 6 at home, and then game 7, anything can happen. Like, I was thinking of this conversation last night. I was like, I already know what.
Sure you were.
Like, they have to win game 5, cuz I don't want to have to go back to Dallas and have to win in game 6. Win on the floor. Come on, Boston. They've been bad at home.
Didn't want to run that scenario all the way through, but just wanted to put it out there. Game 5 is pretty huge.
Yeah, it is pretty huge. They need a win. And it's funny, like, all these years of being so much better away in the playoffs and terrible at home, it would just be nice to finally win the chip at home.
Yeah, that would be nice. And I think, like, that's probably what the guys are thinking, too. They're like, oh, well, we had a bad game. Like, now we'll just beat them at home.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd assume so. It didn't look like...
I doubt that any Celtics players are stressed about this.
No, I agree, because I was looking at the bench, and, like, they would show them on the bench, and, like, you know, their hand, like, they look upset, but they don't look like we're screwed. They don't look like they figured us out, which is... Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. I don't think they figured it out. I have we have a comment from my mom, not my actual mom, of course, but Brady's mom. F Boston, that's why you skipped the O's game, to watch your team get bent over. I did skip the O's. I was very upset. I skipped the O's game to watch my team get bent over. I put it in the we had a little group chat. I was all ready to go, and I put in the group chat. I was like, sorry, I'm not gonna make it because I wanted to watch. In case it was closeout game, I wanted to watch with my dad. And
of course,
they were like, you know, they're winning tonight. And I was like, if they completely blow us out, I'm gonna be so mad. And
yeah, that's it. Well, oh well, it rained anyway.
Did it? Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. Last couple NBA stuff. I mean, we're only, I guess we're 20 minutes. We did get 20 minutes on game 4 and 3. We had a Lakers story at the end of the week. The Lakers were all of a sudden switched their coaching change to Dan Hurley from UConn. Dan Hurley, they had about 3 days where it was like Dan Hurley's mulling this decision. He's either going to stay in UConn or go to the Lakers. They offered him $7 million for 6 years. Didn't we hear to talk about this? Well, that's a shame. Let's recap the whole situation. I guess we already talked about this. Yeah, this happened Monday.
I was like, wait.
You were looking confused. You were looking confused, and I was like, man, I guess we must have already talked about this. Oh, well. Well, I guess we're good on NBA stuff. We got the draft coming up.
I was going to ask, since I kind of shut you down last time, but finals MVP, where are we at?
Okay. Yeah.
Around? I think how does last night change things?
I don't know if last night changes anything, because, you know, none of the Celtics played well, so I don't think it affects much. I think it's going to be Brown. I mean, he had 30, 21, and I think he had 25, 27 the first game. He needs to pop off, though. Like, one of them needs a 30-point game. I think it's funny, if Drew Holiday gets, like, a 25-point game, and is like getting a bunch of steals. Maybe it's because I bet on him. I want him to get it, but I could see Drew Holiday getting it. I think the race is Tatum, Brown, and Holiday. If one of them, whoever pops off in game 4 or game 5, is going to get it. So it's a lame prediction, but whoever pops off out of those three is going to get it.
Well, that's exciting. It'll give us something else to look for.
Yeah, I do think that'll be an interesting concept that people aren't. Because I think a lot of people on Twitter are just like, don't have it be Tatum. Nobody wants it to be Tatum. So it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting race if it's like they both have like 30. Like in game 3 when they both had 31 mm-hmm. and 30. It'll be interesting to see if they both end with a similar stat line like that, who they give it to.
I think I'd rather see it go to Tatum just because people would get so mad.
They'd get so angry. It would be awesome.
I can't deserve it.
But yeah, this guy's just a role player. Just a role player. I want, you know, in the Super Bowl, how they had the Super Bowl MVP, like the votes are public. Like you can just like the people vote on it. Mm-hmm. That's how the finals MVP should be all 4 games. Oh, yeah. It should be like a live poll.
The end MVP.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That would be great too. Like game 1, Pritchard hits that third quarter buzzer beater. I'm sure like the Pritchard numbers start skyrocketing. Yeah, that would be awesome. I think that would be
That would be fun. You MLB does that now, where you vote. You could vote for the player of the game if you're watching a game.
That's
like,
cool.
It's kind of silly because there's a billion games, and it'll show you like the win probability added. It'll give you like a list of players and it'll rank them by that, and then you choose if you care that much to nominate the player of the game. But it keeps track of like who has the most player of the games.
That's cool, and it's funny. Like, it might sound stupid, but it kind of reminds me of 2K. Like, when you're playing really well, and it's, like, the Jordan player of the game. It's like, yeah, it's my career player who has 72 points. Like, that's the player of the game. All right. I think we did good basketball stuff, though. Do you got any prospects you want the Wizards to take before we get heavy into the draft? Or you have no idea?
I haven't looked at it in a while. When the lottery first happened, I looked at the board a little bit. I kind of just want, like, Reed Sheppard. Just give me a dude who's a knockdown shooter.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. It's like a one, but I think he's going to be a bust anyway.
Klingon?
So, I almost just want to go... No, Sar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, dude, he got 9 points a game in Brazil or whatever the hell he is. France? I don't know. He scores like 9 points a game in that league.
Australia. I think he's from Australia.
Yeah. Well, I think he's from France, but he plays in Australia. Something like that. Yeah, he plays for the NBL.
That's too much. that's way too much.
It's all. Like, Wemby's French. He played for a French team. This guy,
he's freaking
out.
Klingon.
This guy's out.
I just think Klingon has, like, some nasty in him, which I think could translate to the NBA. And they desperately need everything. I don't even know why.
But no, they desperately need a big man. Like they traded Gafford.
A big man at like a rim protector would be nice.
Klingon would be really fun in DC. The most,
the biggest need right now, like, you're gonna have three or four drafts where you're picking in the top five. So this is not the year to get like the generational star, unfortunately. So I would obviously be okay with most of the guy. I don't want, like, what's that one guy's name from overseas?
Roche or Zachary Roche or whatever the hell his name is. Richache? That guy?
I think so. Yeah. Gurai Richache. I don't want him.
This is one of those drafts where it's like, and maybe like I kind of want like the college players in this draft. Like, if there's not a Wemby superstar, like, I just want a college player.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling.
And I think this is like just a random draft position, and I don't think the Wizards are going to take him because it's way too high. But whoever gets, like, if the Spurs get Dalton Connect with one of their picks, like, they're going to be, that guy's a dog. Like, that guy's going to be good in the NBA.
He's going to be Swiss cheese on defense, though. Like, I don't even know how
playable. You think so?
I think he's a bench guy.
All right, well, let's settle down my excitement.
Sorry.
No worries.
I don't hate Ron Holland, honestly.
I've heard that name, but I don't know who is he.
He's a G League guy. He was a huge prospect for a while, and then just ended up in the G League, and it's just very raw, I think.
You know, it's an upside, but gross.
Risky, for sure.
It's good for the league, like, for league stuff, but it's gross as two people. You'll get why in a second. Ron Holland is born July 7th, 2005.
Oh.
He's 18. He just turned 18. Or actually, no, he will be turning 19 soon.
That's insane.
He's 18 years old. Yeah. That's pretty nuts. So,
I don't hate a guy like that.
No, exactly. You take a guy like that, he's just like Coulibaly. It's like, well, we have 5 years until we can tell if he's good or not.
That's right. Yeah. I don't hate Castle from UConn either.
Castle would be fun.
Yeah, Shepard, I like.
What about, like, Rob Dillon? Dillian.
Rob Dillon.
Any Kentucky guys?
I'd be all right with him. He's projected 15th in this draft. But I don't, like,
it's funny, any of them could go, like, two.
Orders.
Yeah, it's like any of them could go two. Any of them could go one.
Yeah, no one's trading up.
No.
Yeah, this one has Richache going one.
Yeah,
too. What is France doing?
I don't know. Something in the water over there.
These French guys had a league. Like that. Although, I had Bilal, though.
So. Yeah, that's true. You can't complain that much.
Can't rag on the French too much.
Let's keep it local. We're moving on to baseball, though. Chris was at the Orioles-Phillies game last night. What was it like?
It was about as close to a playoff atmosphere as you can get in the regular season.
Okay.
And I think because there were so many Phillies fans there, that just, like, increased the rabidness of the Orioles fans because they needed to drown us out. So it was very loud for the whole game. It was almost like a bowl game atmosphere.
That's awesome.
Like, I think there were definitely more Orioles fans, but it wasn't by a lot. But the whole game was, like, kind of meh. Like, the Phillies hit two solo home runs, and the Orioles, like, doubled in a run in the third inning. So it was 2-1 going into the eighth. And then the Orioles tie it at two, a home run in the eighth. And then it goes to extra innings. Phillies score in the top of the 10th. They had bases loaded and Schwarber hit a single. One guy scores easily. They send the guy from second to score, and he gets thrown out at the plate by, like, an inch. It was so close. And then they go to the bottom of the 10th. Orioles have the bases loaded. Philly's pitcher throws a wild pitch. Bounces, like, right off the backstop. The guy on third tried to score, and the catcher, like, dives back to tag him, and they initially called him out, and when they showed the replay, he, like, got his hand in there, and they called him safe. So it was 3-3. The place was just, like, going nuts. Every call, every hit, every strikeout, like, it was
Camden insane. Was popping.
My heart rate was out of control. It was, yeah, it was the best that I've ever seen Camden Yards. And both teams are like, they're probably 2-3 right now in baseball.
Yeah.
So it was, it felt like a playoff series. A lot of people are saying like, give us this in the World Series. I think I've talked about this before. Obviously I would take that because I want to be in the World Series, but I don't think the Oriole fans that say that understand like the emotional stress that that would cause. Like friendships would be ripped apart.
Yeah, as we said that last episode, you wouldn't be able to walk out the house. You wouldn't be able to walk out the house without someone yelling at you.
Yeah. But it was awesome. I'm going again today. I didn't even finish talking about the game. It goes to the 11th inning, and as soon as the inning changes, the sky just unloads.
I was going
to
say, when did the rain come?
Pouring rain.
Because it was pouring
here.
They
roll the tarp on. Yeah. So it just starts dumping. And we're looking at the radar, and it looks like it's not going to stop till like 11:30, and then it'll probably start again at midnight. My buddy had to work at 8 a.m. The other buddy that I went with had to get up to go do something else. So we were like, all right, like, it sucks, but we just got to bite the bullet and head back.
Yeah.
Was
it delayed?
We left in a tie game. Yeah. We're like, they might not even finish it tonight. And then we're driving back home, and all of a sudden they're like, all right, we're picking back up at 11:05. And this was 11 o'clock. We're like 15 minutes away from home still. We're like, are you kidding me? How are they able to start this game so soon? So then we listen to the rest on the radio. Phillies go up 2 runs in the top of the 11th and then shut them down in the bottom. So they won 5-3. But yeah, it was a roller coaster of a game. Absolute roller coaster. So that's why when you were before the pod, you were looking at Wyatt's story and it was a painful way to leave the game. That's why, because we left in a tie game.
Oh,
it pouring down rain.
Brutal.
So yeah, it was. And I vowed to myself that I would never leave the game like that again, because I had an experience when I was a kid where the Orioles were down 9-1. In the game, and it started pouring, and we left, and then they picked up the game, and they came back, and they won the game in extra innings. So I was like, I'm never leaving again. But the situation was, I don't regret it because they won, and I wouldn't want to risk changing the outcome by staying. And B, like, we didn't have the information at the time. Like, if we knew when the game was going to pick back up, we probably would have stuck it out. But we could have been waiting an hour just for them to say, never mind, we're going to play the last inning tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, it was definitely a bummer, but being in that atmosphere, it was like, I did tell myself that whenever I have kids, I'm not bringing them to a baseball game on a Friday night.
No.
At least in the upper deck in Baltimore. Mixing Philadelphia and Baltimore is such a bad idea. They should not play each other. It's so terrible. I mean, it's not terrible. Like, the atmosphere was electric, but like, just,
it's not family friendly.
Drunk everywhere. It's not family friendly at all. Like I told you before the pod, slurs were being thrown around.
Yeah,
it was a lot.
Well, there Pickles being right there, Derek just
Jeter jersey
just makes it so brutal for anyone who's sober. Pickles being right there.
Oh, Pickles. Yeah. Yeah, before the game, we were like, we got there early, like probably an hour 20 before the game. And we were talking about going to Pickles. I was like, it's probably already going to be packed.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We'll just go get some food, grab a beer, and chill out in the stadium. But there was a crowd. A crowd came for Pickles. All right.
It's funny. They come like inning two and three, too. Like, it's not like they're there until like inning four.
Was so late arriving. If you watch the leadoff home run that Schwarber hit, you can see like where I was sitting in the upper deck, and it looks like there's 12 people there. And then by the second inning, it was like people were just rolling in. I was like, I get that it's a Friday and it's tough to get here on time, but also like, it's a 7:05 start. You should be here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was so long, and the whole game, people just like up and down, leaving their seats. It's driving me crazy. This one guy, like an Alabama polo and Alabama backwards hat.
Oh, you know he's going to be an asshole.
And take a phone call. Not like stands up and walks away. Like, he literally, from his seat, just stands up and he's like looking around.
Oh, is he like,
just chatting it up on the phone? I was like, buddy,
sit down. We're trying to watch something here.
Stand up to talk on the phone, you asshole.
I know. Why can't you do that while sitting?
But there was a guy next to him was in a Jeter Yankees jersey. And
what a crew.
It seemed like he was rooting for the Orioles. Yeah, it was such a crew. And the other guy in their crews that kept trying to start Let's Go Redskins fans, which I don't know why, but it was really funny. But anyway, the Jeter guy was like chirping the ump, and it seemed like he was rooting for the Orioles. But then he started getting chirped from a few rows back. You've seen the other guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like how Mark Wahlberg shoots Derek Jeter in the foot when he's down in the tunnel. So they were chirping. They're like, "Hey, Jeter, Jeter!" And he like turns his head up, and the guy's like, "You shot Mark Wahlberg. Shot you in the foot." And he was like so confused. They're like, "This guy hasn't seen the other guys." And I was like, "These are some pretty funny chirps, actually." But the Jeter guy kept getting pissed. Like, I was like, you wear a Derek Jeter jersey to an Orioles game.
Orioles, you're
not even playing the Yankees.
Yeah.
You're going to get chirped. Like, you have to be ready to take it. Like, I wore my Phillies stuff, and I was like, I was prepared to hear some stuff, and I was fine. Like, I know what I'm getting myself into. But this guy was getting so upset, and, like, his one friend leaned back up and told the one guy to, like, eat a salad and get on the treadmill. I was like, nope, can't be fat shaming. That's not. Not a great comeback. And the guys behind us were so funny. Like the one, I forget what the Jeter guy said to him, but he was just like, "That's not funny." I was like, "That's such a good comeback."
Yeah, just like, saying that's not funny and brutal.
But then they started throwing cans at him, and I was like, "All right."
That's start throwing cans at him? Jesus.
Yes. Just like twice.
Sounds like a hectic game.
But yeah, it was pandemonium. There was a Philly fan that got thrown out a couple sections over from us. Yeah, it was absolute chaos. The guy next to me had like six parlays going at once. Like, comes in and sits down, and someone gets a hit, and he's like, "Oh, I just need one more hit for him for my parlay." The next guy strikes out. He's like, "All right, like, three more strikeouts." And I was like, "Buddy, like, how many parlays do you have?" And they're all like five to win $600.
God damn.
He's like, "Yeah, I like to hedge my bets." I'm like, "That's not hedging.
That's just doubling
you
down.
Can't hedge a five to win $600 parlay."
Yeah, it's just doubling
not
down.
How that works. Wait. Oh, he was so close. He had the final score 5-2, and it was 5-3.
Bro bet a parlay with final score. He deserves anything that he...
He put the final score in the parlay.
Yeah, he deserves anything coming at him.
Like, are you nuts?
Yeah, that guy's insane. If you predict final score, you just do straight final score. For any newbie bettors out there.
I could not believe he put that in the parlay.
That's like putting an alt spread in the parlay.
You are out of your mind.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Well, an alt spread that's like minus big. A plus, like if you put like plus 14.5 in there, that's one thing. Minus 14.
Yeah, but you make it like I made. I it's funny. I said that and I did that. I did the Celtics alt spread for them winning, and put it in a parlay. They didn't even come close. My whole parlay.
That was your cocky lay.
It was my cocky lay. Yeah. I won a baseball lay. Can you believe it? Can't believe I won a baseball lay.
You did?
Yeah, I had. It was between 2 days. I didn't realize that. But and I was wondering why it like wasn't settling, because the game said it was at 9:15, and I was looking at it yesterday, and I was like, game says at 9:15, like, and I saw, because the same team was playing and they won, so I was like, why didn't it count? And it was because it was the game today instead of the game yesterday, but it doesn't matter, I ended up winning. I don't know why my location's restricted right
that's
now.
Good for you.
Oh well, I was gonna show you the bet, but my FanDuel's not working. But yeah, it was just nice to win one.
Nice to see one go through the net.
So are you going all three games? Or are you just going today?
I'm going today. I'm not. Tomorrow I have my own men's league game.
Okay.
Which sucks because that's the best pitching matchup. Today, the pitching matchup is ass, but it'll still be fun.
Now, did you do the astute tickets?
A lot of emotional stress, though. No, they were sold out.
So what'd you have to do?
We ended up just buying resold tickets because I kept checking the website to see if there would even be any when we got there. And by 2 o'clock, there were literally like 6 tickets left. So I was like, all right, we're just going to buy them resold. Not the end of the world.
Cool. Is that the same plan today, or are you going to try the student tickets?
No, I bought these tickets a while ago for my dad's birthday.
Nice.
We got actual tickets.
And Father's Day tomorrow. You're doing a good job, Chris.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thanks, man. Last night's resale tickets, we bought them for like 40, and then for some reason Wyatt checked to see how much they were later, and they went down to like 25. But today, let me pull it up real quick. This is Sunday. The cheapest you can get in for is 85.
Holy shit. I was going to go Sunday.
And then
85. Is that just because of the pitching matchup?
Saturday. Today, it's, these are 117 is the cheapest ticket you can get
today.
Holy
crap.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it looks like I'm not going Sunday.
No.
I'm not gonna pay $80. Well, that's good. Yeah. Any final thoughts?
Prepared and bought their tickets early, but yeah, they'll sell out the ballpark all three nights, which is cool. I think last night was the second sellout at Camden Yards this year, so the Phillies are helping them out a little bit. They'll start selling out. Like they need time for the fan base to come back, which it already has in terms of interest, but in terms of filling up the ballpark. It'll get there. Same thing happened in Philly.
Love to see it.
But it was definitely the most electric regular season crowd I think I've like. It felt like an NFL game.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And I guess like I grew up going to Redskin games where there was that type of atmosphere with all the opposing fans. So that's kind of what it reminded me of.
Sounds like a blast.
Great time. Glad to get back today. I need a break, I think. It was a lot.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't go to sleep last night.
Oh,
just
sure.
My heart just like don't.
So for I'm gonna wrap this up. You gotta go soon. But to wrap it up, there was on game three night, they had the Brady Hall of Fame, Patriots Hall of Fame.
Yes. Retirement ceremony.
And you know, I'm named after Brady. Of course, I'm a Brady guy, but like, can we get like 2 years without like a Brady Day, please? I feel like every 3 months it's a Brady Day. Over the past,
did you know that he works for Delta Airlines?
Tom Brady?
I saw a tweet. I was actually on LinkedIn, and it was like showing all of the things that Tom Brady has done since he's retired, and he's got like all these ownership stakes and teams. Then he has like some. He's a strategic advisor for Delta Airlines.
What does he know about?
I have no idea. What
does he know about?
I don't know.
That's weird.
No idea.
There.
I saw that and I was like, I had to do a double T.
Like, I swear, I think since the pandemic, we've had a Brady Day every year because he's retired. He's unretired.
Oh yeah.
He's retired again. He's won the Super Bowl. He's gotten to the Patriots Hall of Fame. He's gotten roasted.
Yep.
And like that was a day too, so like that counts. Like that's like a Brady Day.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's Tom. I love you, Tom. You're always gonna be my favorite quarterback of all time. But let's just go like 2 years before the next Brady Day.
Yeah.
Let's not waive his NFL Hall of Fame. Let's just do that. We'll wait until 4 years and then the NFL Hall of Fame. Yeah. We can have the next Brady Day. But I'm just.
He wins an Emmy for broadcasting.
Oh, God. Oh, and his first broadcast. Oh, Jesus.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess we're just going to... It's Brady's world. I guess we're just living in it.
Right. Yep.
And then maybe he'll be the president of the United States one day, so who knows?
I would vote for him, honestly, I think.
If he ran this year, he'd probably win.
Oh yeah,
he'd 1,000% win. And he could run off nothing. He could run off I'm Tom Brady and I play.
I don't know. A lot of people hate Tom Brady.
That's a good point. Yeah, but I feel like all the Tampa stuff, like...
A lot of people hate Donald Trump.
Yeah, and Joe Biden, so to make it fair. But, like, all the Tampa stuff, like, that's gotten... That should get some voters.
Yes.
Oh, man. I hope this isn't a real conversation that we're talking about in 4 years.
All right. I do. I'll take Tom Brady. Better than what we have now.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. Tom Brady versus The Rock next 4 years. Let's do it.
Yes.
I'm in. XFL that versus NFL.
That would be fun if it was like Tom Brady versus just some like average politician from Missouri. Whatever. He's just like, I'm Tom Brady and I have 7 Super Bowls.
Yeah, and then this guy's like, oh, well, your like, policies suck.
Our interest rate. He's like, look, man.
Look, perseverance, 7 rings. What can our country do? Yeah, he'd just be like, what can our country do? And everyone would be like, yeah. Be all in. Be all in. All right. I think that does it. Chris, you got to go. You got to go to the airport. So I'll let you get to it. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I like these Saturday pods. Get me fired up in this
They're
Saturday
nice.
Morning.
Yeah. Good way to start the day.
Really is. I hope you all enjoyed. We'll see everyone. Well, Monday night is game 5, so we'll see everyone on Tuesday. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy your weekend. Happy Father's Day to all the pops out there.